Hi, everyone. This is Katie Mingle, the ReSound producer. The following is a cut from an interview I did with Scott Carrier. And the first question I asked him was, do you think of yourself more as a writer or as a radio producer?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to think of myself as both, I guess, a writer and a radio producer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know.
What are you doing more of lately?
Not really doing much of either one right now, because the possibilities to work in radio or public radio are pretty limited right now for independents, not only myself, but across the board, because the Corporation for Public Broadcasting has pretty much cut funding for independent producers. And that was the way that we got paid, because the shows that we sold our stories to never paid very much money, and still don't today. For instance, that story about running after antelope was about 15 minutes long, I believe, and I was paid $600, which was considered to be a lot at that time, by, you know, all things considered. But it wasn't. I worked on that story for months, if not a year, traveled all over the United States talking to physiologists and anthropologists.
Mm-hmm.
And I was only able to pay for that because I had a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting that I think was maybe $2,000. So I really basically lost money on that story and every other story I ever did for radio. It was a losing proposition in terms of money.
These days, there are a lot of people who tell stories in the first person, but when you first started, that it doesn't seem like that was as true. Why did you decide to tell stories in the first person, and did editors give you a hard time about it?
The first person is the closest you can get to the truth. What somebody sees or experiences. I've got nothing against the objective stories. I think there's a place for them, but at the same time, I don't think there's any reason to rule out the subjective voice or subjective stories. I think that's sort of, I call it narrative fascism. The idea that there's only one way to tell the truth, and I just don't believe that.
Yeah.
So, that's why.
Yeah. You've put a lot of, you know, pretty personal details into your stories over the years, and some stuff. Oftentimes it's a little bit vague, but like some stuff about your family, your wife, or your sons. How have they responded to sometimes being characters in your stories?
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever been included in someone else's story, but it's a little tricky. It's touchy. I think even if the writer does a good job, sometimes the person who's written about or spoken about can be upset, because in a story, you're only taking a piece of somebody's life, and that's okay if you're listening to it, but if the story's actually about you and the writer's only taken a small part of your life, you feel kind of cheated, because you've got many more experiences. There's a lot more there than just the one bit that was used as sort of a prop or a technique, not a technique, but something that enables the story to progress. Sort of like being used. Writers use their experiences and characters that they, people that they meet, in order to tell stories. And so it's sort of like a form of exploitation. And the only thing you can do is just try to get it right. And
would that be something you would ask permission for first?
Well, what story are you talking about? We should be specific, I guess.
I guess the first one that comes to mind is the one that you wrote about interviewing schizophrenics. I feel like there's some stuff right at the top of that story about you're like redoing the house, you're pulling it apart, and your wife is...
And she moved out.
Yeah. So...
So what... Yeah, okay.
Did she just sort of hear that and was like surprised, or did you run it by her first, or...?
I can't remember if I ran it by her or not. And I don't really know I know she wasn't real happy about it, for me to be, you know, broadcasting our life across the airwaves, but
yeah,
at the same time, it was something that happened, mm-hmm. and I think she liked the story as a whole when it was done.
Mm. Are you still married?
No. We still get along. I talk to her almost every day, but we're not married.
Getting away from your personal life, you've done a lot of writing that's only in print, which it sounds like kind of came about from your radio work. Do you prefer sometimes to just work in print, or do you usually believe that sound can improve a story?
I have more fun when I work on radio stories, and I have more fun listening to the radio stories than I do reading. But print is nice because you just basically need a pencil and paper. You don't have to have any equipment or technology or anything. And so, and then also you aren't limited to the tape that you, when I work in radio, I start with the tape. And basically what I write is a way to introduce or set up the tape I've recorded that I want to play.
Could you talk about some of the things that you've learned over the years that have helped you become a better storyteller?
Well, it's basically whether you're working for radio or in print, the idea is to engage the reader or the listener's imagination. Yeah, once they start using their own imagination, they're hooked, and they'll keep going as long as you keep supplying them with an image, you know, to move forward. Just one image at a time and just like stack them up like blocks. So you give them just enough where they have something to go on themselves. So they're actually engaged in the process.
Uh-huh.
Try to set up the scene, the context, where this thing is happening, because that is really important for imagining, mm-hmm. you know, the thing in people's minds. I think oftentimes writers and for in print and radio don't provide enough context. And context is where the meaning comes from.
Hmm. What kind of feedback have you gotten about your voice over the years? Because I feel like that's something that people really respond to to in your stories.
Yeah. People say my voice is monotonous, like one tone. Uh-huh. That's one thing I've seen mentioned a lot, that I'm a monotone.
It's funny because it is a little bit, but it also feels like it has so much emotion in it and kind of a tinge of like melancholy.
Yeah. I've heard that as well. I can't really, you know, it's like your voice, you're kind of stuck with it, I think. I don't know. I can't imitate other people. I'm not good that way. I don't sing. I can't sing. and so it just comes out the way it comes out. Sometimes I'm too tired. When I try to record narration for a radio story, I'm too tired and I have to just give it up.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I make way too many mistakes. I remember when I was working for Ira's show with Elise Spiegel, I'd send her my narration, and she'd spend hours cutting out my mistakes because I was just so bad at it, so bad at reading my own writing. Because I just felt like I wasn't doing it right, or she told me I wasn't doing it right. But it's been a lot easier as I've done it more. But yeah, as far as the way my voice sounds, I just don't, you know, it's just the way it is. I just try to not sound depressed, because I used to be depressed quite a bit, but I'm not any so much anymore. And that was a problem. At sometimes it was just too sad, you know, to listen to myself. I was like, oh no, I'd be better than that.
When I first started hearing your stories, there's just something about your voice that when you hear it, you think like, this guy is, he's telling the truth, like. He's not bullshitting.
Huh.
And I don't know if you're aware of that by now. I mean, probably people have told you that, but...
Well, yeah, I try... Thanks for saying that, because that's what I try to do. Because I don't like it when I think other people are wasting my time or bullshitting. So, yeah, just try not to do that.
You do a lot of stories where you talk to strangers, you travel around the country asking people questions, and you at least seem to always have your recorder on you. I don't know if you actually do, but can you talk about talking to strangers? Because I know for me and for other producers, like, that's a hard thing to do. And so how have you been able to do that?
Well, you know, when I was younger, like in high school and just after high school, I traveled around a lot by hitchhiking. That was back in the 70s. And it was easy to do then. Mm-hmm. It's still, maybe, I don't know what it's like now. I haven't done it in years. But from getting rides with people in their cars, I realized that if you just sit there and listen, they'll spill their guts. They'll tell you their life stories. And, you know, going from one car to another, there's so much difference between the people who would pick me up. Hmm. And yet, you know, I just heard a lot of really good stories. And so I realized at some point, it's like, wow, if I had a tape recorder and could record these, it would be really good. And so when I decided to do a radio story, that's what I did. I hitchhiked from Salt Lake City to Washington, and I interviewed the people who picked me up. And that's how I started working in radio. And that's when I was in college, I studied anthropology. I liked studying other cultures, other belief systems, you know, like cultural anthropology. And I've just always enjoyed listening to people who see the world differently than I do, who've had different experiences than I have, and, you know, maybe interpret them a lot differently than I would.